Okay. Last time I was up here, we spoke about the confidence that we can have in our salvation. And today, I had in mind I wanted to present an encouraging sermon. And so today the topic of our sermon is death. Okay. I know that sounds a little odd, but I hope by the time we get done you can see where we're going with this. Now, this is one topic that affects every single person. Eventually, every one of us is going to die. No matter how hard we try, no one's going to live forever, and no one will escape death's grip. Ecclesiastes 8:8 says, "No one has power over the spirit to retain the spirit, and no one has power in the day of death." When we die, our spirit leaves our body, we read in James 2:26, and goes back to God because He is the Father of spirits. And our physical bodies will eventually turn back to dust. Ecclesiastes 12:7 says, "Then the dust will return to the earth as it was, and their spirit will return to God who gave it." Now, based on the story of the rich man and Lazarus in Luke 16, we can know that God sends a righteous spirit to paradise, which is also called Abraham's bosom, and he sends the unrighteous spirit to the place of torment where the rich man was sent. Now, these two destinations are separated by a gulf that cannot be passed. Now, you and I are in control of our destination. We're in control of what that destination will be because God has given us the free will to choose. To choose whether to be a righteous servant of God or to be a servant of the devil and follow his evil ways. Our lesson this morning will primarily focus on how we as Christians should view death and what we can do to prepare for it. Now, death scares some people. It scares some people and they don't even like thinking about it. But like I said, we must all deal with it. So there is no need to avoid the reality of death. Our time here on this earth is very short. And we must learn to use what time we have to do things to the best of our abilities. In fact, the Bible says a lot about how short our lives really are. For instance, in 1 Chronicles 29:15, it compares our lives to a shadow that only lasts for a short while. In Job 7, it compares our lives to a weaver's shuttle, which quickly runs out, and to the wind, which is there for a short while and then disappears. And in Job 14, "Man who is born of woman is of few days and full of trouble. He comes forth like a flower and fades away." Psalm 90 compares our life to a sigh. And in James 4:14, it says, "Our life is but a vapor that is here today and gone tomorrow." Knowing that our time here is short, it should motivate us to prepare ourselves for death, because there are no second chances. Hebrews 9:27 says, "And as it is appointed for men to die once, but after this, the judgment." This is why it is important for Christians to redeem the time they have left on this earth to serve God with all their heart. If we are striving to serve God as Christians, we should not fear death, because there are many blessings that come from it. In fact, the Hebrew writer teaches us that we should not fear death because Jesus will deliver us from it. Hebrews 2, starting in verse 14, it says, "Inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared in the same, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is the devil, and release those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage." On the day of judgment, Jesus will destroy death, according to 1 Corinthians 15. And then we will be able to say what Paul states in 1 Corinthians 15. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? In fact, the Bible makes death out to be something positive for all the righteous. In Ecclesiastes 7, it says, a good name is better than precious ointment, and the day of death better than the day of one's birth. Why do you suppose the writer says that a person's death is better than a person's birth? Well, Paul may answer it this way in Philippians 1 and 21. He wrote, for to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if we live on in the flesh, this will mean fruit from my labor. Yet what I shall choose I cannot tell, for I am hard pressed between the two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to remain in the flesh is more needful for you. Paul understood that while he remained on the earth, he could be helpful in encouraging the brethren to remain faithful, and that he would have more opportunities to share the good news about Jesus. However, he struggled with this because he looked forward to death, because he knew that when he died, his struggles on earth would be over, and he would be in the presence of the Lord, which is far better. So we should not fear death as Christians. Instead, we can look forward to it and all the blessings that come with it. So let's take a look at some of the many blessings that a faithful Christian can look forward to at death. As we look at the different blessings from the Bible, it should be a great comfort to us and encourage us to live faithfully towards God. Psalm 116 says, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Sometimes it might make you sad when we see some sinful, famous person die early because they overdosed on drugs. And then you see how much the world praises them and their sinful ways. However, when a faithful Christian dies, who has touched the lives of many and has led many to Christ, the world is silent. And the only one who sings them praises are the few other Christians that they know and have touched. This just shows the difference between the world and those who serve God. When we read passages like the one I just read, it shouldn't make us sad that the world doesn't sing praises about the faithful Christian who passes from this earth, because we can rejoice knowing that the faithful Christians are precious in the sight of the Lord. This verse should also comfort us as we consider our own death that we'll have to face someday. Isaiah 57:1 says, the righteous perishes, and no man takes it to heart. Merciful men are taken away, while no one considers that the righteous is taken away from evil. He shall enter into peace. They shall rest in their beds, each one walking in his uprightness. Isaiah is teaching us that when the righteous die, they are taken away from this evil world that we live in. No longer will we have to fight against the devil or the temptations of this world. We won't have anything to worry about because we'll enter into peace. When we die, our spirit leaves our body, and it will be carried away to paradise by angels, just as Lazarus' spirit was. We start reading in Luke 16, verse 19. There was a certain rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. But there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, full of sores, who was laid at his gate, desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. So it was that the beggar died and was carried by angels to Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And being in torment in Hades, he lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. Then he cried out and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that in your lifetime you received your good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and you are tormented. And besides all this, between us and you there is a great gulf fixed, so that those who want to pass from here to you cannot, nor can those from there pass to us. This story also confirms what will happen to those who are not faithful to the Lord, and how they should fear death, because their death will be the beginning of eternal torment. However, our main focus is the blessing of that faithful Christians will receive when we can see that our spirit will be taken to paradise where Abraham is, and we'll be in comfort. And this also shows that we will be aware of our surroundings, because while our physical bodies die, our spirit lives on. We will be able to enjoy the company of those who were righteous and have passed on. Also, as we read earlier, Paul says we are in the presence of the Lord, which is far better than living on the earth. Revelation 14:13 says, Then I heard a voice from heaven saying to me, Write, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Yes, says the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works follow them. So when we die, we get to rest from our labors as we enter into eternal rest. As you can see, we have a lot to look forward to. We have a lot to look forward to when we die as faithful Christians. And so we should not fear death, but we should look forward to it. And we should be confident that we will gain all these blessings when we die. Paul was certainly confident of this at the end of his life. 2 Timothy 4, starting in verse 6, For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, he will give to me on that day. And not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing. Paul has already told us that he was looking forward to being with the Lord, and here he is showing his confidence that he had lived a faithful life to God, even though he had sinned from time to time. Now we won't receive the crown of righteousness until the day of judgment, when Jesus comes back again and raises the just and the unjust. John 5. And at that time, Jesus will raise our physical bodies and transform them into spiritual bodies that will last for eternity, and our spirit will be reunited with that new body. This is seen in 1 Corinthians 15. But until that day happens, the Christian spirit will remain in paradise. Now, everything I have shown you so far should help you to look forward to death, since there are so many wonderful things to look forward to. However, in order to have the right attitude toward death, we must be prepared for it, because heaven is a place for a prepared people. The first thing we must do to prepare for the blessings of death is to become a Christian. Romans 8:1 says, There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. And then Ephesians 1:3 says, Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. And then Ephesians 1:7 says, In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. These three verses make it easy for us to see that we must be in Christ Jesus to have the forgiveness of our sins and every spiritual blessing, which would include the blessings we will receive when we die in the Lord. Also, we must be in Christ in order to avoid condemnation to hell. So how do we become a Christian? How do we make it in Christ? In order to answer this question, we must use the whole counsel of God, and not just one of two verses that we read in Scripture. We must also have an honest heart and believe what the Bible says about becoming saved instead of allowing what mom, dad, or anyone else says about the topic. Because God's word is our authority. Now, these verses I'm going to share with you are the basic principles of how a person becomes a Christian, so that they can start becoming prepared for the blessings that we receive at death. Romans 10 and 17 says, "So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." A person must hear the word of God first, because without it they cannot know about God or what it takes to become a Christian. The word of God is power of God for salvation, Romans 1 and 16. And it will save your soul, we read in James 1 and 21. You must decide for yourself to believe what you hear, which brings us to the next step. John 8 and 24 says, "Therefore I said to you that you will die in your sins if you do not believe that I am He. You will die in your sins." In order for a person to become a Christian, they must believe in Jesus. If they don't believe in Jesus or what the Bible says about Him, then they will have no reason to follow after Him. And if you don't believe, you will die in your sins. Belief alone is not enough. Even the demons believed in Jesus, we read in James 2. And James makes it clear in James 2 and 17. It says, "Faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead." In James 2 and 24, you see then that a man is justified by works and not by faith only. A person can believe all day long, but until they have an obedient faith and obey the whole counsel of God, they will not become a Christian. And next Jesus says in Luke 13 and 3, "I tell you, no. But unless you repent, you will likewise all perish." Repentance means that you are willing to make a change in your life, and you'll stop living in sin, and you will live your life to the best of your ability according to the whole counsel of God. The Bible also teaches us that we must confess Jesus as our Lord. Romans 10 and 10 says, "For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." Matthew 10 and 32 says, "Therefore whoever confesses me before men, him I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, him I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven." A person cannot become a Christian if they are ashamed. If they are ashamed to confess Jesus as the Lord. If you do not have an obedient faith and confess Jesus as your Lord, then Jesus will not confess you before the Father. John 12 and 42 says, "Nevertheless, even among the rulers, many believed in him. But because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. For they loved the praise of men more than the praises of God." Notice, these men believed that Jesus was the Son of God, but they would not confess him. Another example, and these other verses show that a person must do more than just believe in order to become a Christian. Everything that we've looked at so far has come from the Bible. It has not been my opinion or some preconceived idea that someone has taught, but it's based on the verses that we have looked at so far. And these verses, you know, would cause many divisions among different denominations, because many of them differ on how a person is saved. However, if you have an honest heart, you should have no problem understanding everything that we've looked at and what it takes, what is necessary to be saved. Now, our next step that brings about salvation is denied by a majority of denominations out there. And again, I ask you to allow the Bible to speak for itself. And don't allow the influence of a denomination or another person to keep you from seeing the plain truth. 1 Peter 3:21 says, "There is also an antitype which now saves us, baptism." Acts 2:38 says, "Then Peter said to them, 'Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins.'" And Acts 22:16 says, "And now why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized, wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord." People can deny the importance of baptism all day long, but it doesn't change what the Word of God says. Notice, baptism saves, and it is the point that our sins are washed away. According to Romans 6, it is when we become united with Christ in the likeness of His death. I want you to remember when we started talking about what it takes to be saved, that we said we must be in Christ to be saved. Remember, in Christ is where the forgiveness of sins, every spiritual blessing, and no condemnation is found. The Bible makes it clear that it is at the point of baptism that we enter into Christ, where all these wonderful blessings are found. Romans 6:3, "Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death?" And Galatians 3:27 says, For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ." And 1 Corinthians 12:13 says, "For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body." So using the whole counsel of God, we can see that a person must hear the Word, he must believe Jesus is the Son of God, repent, confess Jesus as Lord, and be baptized into Christ for the remission of their sins. It is only when we obey all of these things that we become a Christian. And this is just the first step in becoming prepared for death and the blessings that it brings. Once you become a Christian, you must do your best to be a faithful servant of God. Matthew 24:13 says, "But he who endures to the end shall be saved." And Revelation 2:10 says, "Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life." This does not mean that we are going to be perfect, because none of us are. But thanks to Jesus, we can know that if we are striving to be faithful, that we will be saved in the end. The way that we show our love for God and our faithfulness is by obeying God's commands. 1 John 5:3 says, "For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not burdensome. Now, the only way we can do this is if we continue to study God's Word, pray for the strength and guidance to be a doer of God's Word, and if we follow these simple guidelines given to us by the Word of God, then we will be prepared for death, and we can look forward to it with anticipation. The most important thing we can do is to make sure that we are spiritually prepared for our death. But there is another aspect of death that we need to look at, and that is how we should handle the death of a loved one that is a Christian. Now, obviously, it'll make us mourn because that person will no longer be part of our lives while we live on the earth. Even when Jesus knew that He was going to raise Lazarus from the dead, when He saw His family crying because of His death, Jesus cried as well. While there is a time for mourning, there will also be a time for rejoicing, because we can comfort ourselves knowing that they are now in a place of comfort, and that we will get to see them again on the other side if we live a faithful life as they did. King David understood this concept very well. Although his approach was a little bit different, after David had committed adultery with Bathsheba and got her pregnant and then had her husband killed to cover it up, God's punishment was that the child would die. David mourned his child day and night before it died, hoping God might have mercy on him, but his mourning did not change the outcome. And once the child died, this was his response. In 2 Samuel 12, starting in verse 19, when David saw that his servants were whispering, David perceived that the child was dead. Therefore David said to his servants, "Is the child dead?" And they said, "He is dead." So David arose from the ground, washed and anointed himself, and changed his clothes. And he went into the house of the Lord and worshipped. Then he went to his own house, and when he requested, they set food before him, and he ate. Then his servants said to him, "What is this that you have done? You fasted and wept for the child while he was alive, but when the child died, you rose and ate food?" And he said, "While the child was alive, I fasted and wept, for I said, 'Who can tell whether the Lord will be gracious to me that the child may live?' But now he is dead. Why should I fast? Can I bring him back again? I shall go to him, but he shall not return to me." He understood. He understood that his dead son was gone and there was nothing that was going to change that. So he stopped his mourning and he comforted himself with the thought that he would see his son on the other side. And that is exactly what we must do. We must realize that our Christian loved ones is enjoying the comfort of paradise, and that if we remain faithful, we will see them again someday. Now there is an ugly side to all of this, and that is those who die outside of the Lord. I don't have any comforting words that I can share with you that will make their passing better. All I can suggest is that we learn from their mistake and don't allow ourselves to suffer that same fate. I can promise you that they don't want you to be where they are. Remember the rich man and what he said? Back to Luke 16, the rich man also died and was buried. And being in torment in Hades, he lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. Then he cried out and said, "Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame." But Abraham said, "Son, remember that in your lifetime you received your good things, and likewise Lazarus, evil things. But now he is comforted and you are tormented. And besides all this, between us and you there is a great gulf fixed, so that those who want to pass from here to you cannot, nor can those from there pass to us." Then he said, "I beg you therefore, Father, that you would send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers, that he may testify to them, that they also come to this place of torment, lest they also come to this place of torment." The rich man realized that he had a choice in the way he had lived his life on earth, and that it was too late for him. But he didn't want his brothers to go to the horrible place of torment. No one likes to think about their mom or their dad or anyone that they've loved being in a horrible place. But unfortunately, it is a reality for all who have not become a Christian, or who have not lived faithful lives towards God. These loved ones of ours don't want to suffer their fate, don't want us to suffer their fate. If they could speak to us today, they would want us to live a righteous life and allow God's word to be our guide. They wouldn't want you to be deceived by false teaching on what it takes to become a Christian. We've shown in this lesson how we should deal with death as Christians. We should not fear it, but look forward to all the blessings that come with it. We also learned that when someone does pass away, we should mourn for them for a while. But then we should also rejoice for them, knowing that they have begun their journey of eternal bliss. We also looked at the dark side of death and how there is no hope for those who die outside the Lord. The only thing they have to enjoy is their short life here on the earth, and then they will begin their eternity of torment. But it doesn't have to be that way. If you choose to make today your day of salvation, again, your fate is in your own hands. If you are willing to take God's word to heart by hearing and believing that Jesus is the Son of God, If you're willing to repent and confess that Jesus is Lord, and if you would submit to being baptized into Christ for the remission of your sins, then why not do it today? Why face the death that could be eternity in hell? Don't let something like baptism keep you from being saved. Don't listen to what others are telling you that are false. Don't let the praise of others override the plain truth of God's word, like those Pharisees. So I urge you, make the right choice. Decide to follow Jesus. Put yourself in Christ. I can tell you, it's a great and wonderful life. It's the best choice you can make. Even life on this earth is much better being in Christ. The difference after death is huge. So that's the invitation for any of you here today who are not Christians. See us afterwards. We're glad to talk to you and help you make that choice. Not help you make the choice, help you fulfill your choice. Do whatever we can to help teach you, show you. It's great to think of death that way. Think of death as a happy place. It's kind of hard to do that, isn't it? But let's look at the bright side of it. Because we're all going down that road. We're all going to face death. Unless, of course, Christ comes again before we die. That's the lesson for today. Let's think happy thoughts about death. Let's try to share that with others in the world that we know that are not Christians. Show them there is a good side. Lesson yours. Let's all stand while the final prayer.
Heavenly Father, we know so many who have died